Amen and amen. Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're about ready to give a message here to you from the Lord on part 120 of how to have God's life living in you. This will be program number 222. And if you'd like a copy of it, you could just order it after the service. At the end of this tape, Sharon will tell you how to receive it four different ways. And if you get a hold of our website, you can order some of this music. All the programs that we send to you are absolutely free of charge. Postage and handling is also free of charge. And we thank and praise the Lord that we're able to minister the gospel by radio and website and through literature throughout the entire world. And we're now about ready to, we have some letters today, and we also have a message from the throne. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to live in and through me and speak through me as he has every other prophet of the Lord. Father, we thank and praise your holy name that your spirit is alive and well, and that you do speak through your people on earth. The first, Lord, you know that that we know that all the prophets spoke as you gave them utterance, and that there's no private interpretation of the Bible. There's no two different ways that the scriptures are supposed to be preached. They're supposed to be preached by the Spirit. And the Spirit doesn't have two or more meanings of the scriptures. There's only one interpretation, and that's your interpretation. This is why people have to study your word in order to be able to receive the proper meaning of what you're saying. So many people today are twisting it so that they thinking that they can live their own life, the life that they plan for themselves. But your word plainly states that it pleases you that the world will be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel, that you would come to this planet, Father, in a man, showing us that God can and does live in men, and that it's your will that you reconcile men that receive your word, the correct interpretation of it, they receive it into their hearts, and that they're in their minds, they change their minds, they willingly change their way of thinking to your word, so that they can be accounted as righteous. There's so many ministers today, Father, that are preaching that they are the righteousness of God. They're preaching this to the whole world, and yet they totally eliminate the actual meaning, the true meaning of your word. There's people in their congregation, they'll stand up and say, I know a lot of you people in the congregation are committing adultery with each other's wives here in this congregation, and then they go on to say that they're the righteousness of God. But the word righteousness is not a religious word, it's a legal word. Whenever anybody positions themselves into your way of thinking and allowing you to live in them and through them and preach, let you preach the word in them and through them, they're not righteous. These people are a bunch of sinners that they are proclaiming that they're the righteousness of God just because they are sitting under the roof of some pseudo church or a building that they call a church. Your word tells us that we are righteous when we are in you. And so many people just completely throw the word in away. There's only one righteous person on the face of the entire universe, and that's you. And we must be in you. We must desire and make ourselves change our minds. We must live a life of changing our minds, molding our minds, making us believe the way you do, to receive the things you say as they are, not twisting them or turning them, and surrendering our entire life over to you in order that we may be legal. Now, these unlegal people, these people that say that they're the righteousness of God, they make this a religious meaning, that word, when it, in reality it is a legal term that tells us that we have positioned ourselves into your will. We have called ourselves, when you called us, we have then called ourselves to change our minds and change our minds to be your mind. Your mind is your word. And your word tells us to walk by the Spirit. Therefore, Lord, I pray that you walk in me now, that you have your way with my mouth, that you will open my mouth and fill my mouth with your words, that the souls out in the world will be saved, and the church, those that are really in you, that are not yet fully developed to the maturity of that they are allowing you to speak through them and do everything according to your will, Lord, that they will become stronger and more intent on allowing this, your will, to be done in them. And then they will be considered the righteousness of God. We're only righteous in the eyes of the Lord if we're walking according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Therefore, Lord, I ask that they do this, that they accept your word in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, if you felt the Spirit of the Lord, then you know it was the Lord, because there's no man that can manufacture the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to know, it doesn't make any difference how the people of this dark world condemn those of us that are walking by the Spirit, according to the law of the Spirit of life. You know that they can't be right, because you feel the Spirit of God, and God doesn't operate in people that are of the flesh, of this world. All right? Okay, now, where is our first letter from?
From Nigeria.
All right, let's hear it.
Dear World Pastor Tony Alamo, it is with great honor in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, I am sending my thanks and greetings to you and all my brothers and sisters in the church. A few months ago, I met Brother Doug, a member of your ministry, on the internet, and your website address was given to me to request some gospel literature for distribution, which I did and eventually received from you. I am writing to thank God Almighty for sending your type of pastor to this generation, and as well thanking you for dwelling in God's direction in soul winning. Your soul-winning booklets have turned the Muslim-dominant community where the Lord positioned us upside down for Christ Jesus.
Isn't that wonderful? The Lord positioned you, okay? But it's really you positioning yourself in the will of the Lord, and the Word of God is His will. But there's no private interpretation of it. It means exactly what it says. So it's obvious that this person has positioned themselves, and so therefore the Lord has positioned them into a position of righteousness. They have become the righteousness of God. But then if they turn, we don't want to even really think about or talk about that, but we have to preach the whole Bible. And the Bible says if we go back, if we turn back to live in the darkness, which is, I've been preaching the kingdom of darkness, and we turn back to the king of dark, then we are like dogs that have returned to our vomit, and we are those that have become swine. The sow has gone back to the wallowing in the mire. And also, we are then condemned. There remains no more forgiveness for us. Now, some of you that may have done that ignorantly, if it was a sin of ignorance, then don't be like a sow. Even a sow that's fallen into the mud will get up and shake the mud off of itself and get all you're getting to get back into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of righteousness, because without the Lord living in us and through us, it's impossible to enter the kingdom of God. He says anyone that attempts to get into the kingdom of God any other way than him, through him, the word, is a thief and a liar. And thieves and liars are not allowed in. So anyone that's teaching you that the Lord has forgiven us for our past, present, and future sins, they're lying to you, because the Bible states that a person that sins is the slave to sin. And sin cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you've got to make yourself, you have to force yourself to put on the thinking of God. We have to change our minds, and we have to change our lives, and we have to physically do it ourselves, because the Lord wants to see willingness on our part. We have to be willing to do it. He's not going to force you to do it, or he's not going, if he sees no effort of willingness on your part, he's not going to give you the power to do that. As he sees you willingly pressing in and forcing the powers of darkness away from you, and see you constantly gravitating to the light of his word and walking in his spirit, it's then when he will give you more power to be able to do even more. But the Lord is, we're all on a test. He's not tempting us, but he wants to see you willingly reject this world. He said, love not the world. He wants you to willingly not love this world, to hate it. He wants you to willingly put the lust of your flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life under your feet. He doesn't want you to trample his blood underfoot and account it as a cursed thing. He wants you to resist all satanic things, which is this world and the ruler of darkness and the kingdom of darkness, and he wants you to press on. He wants to see if you're worthy, if you willingly are worthy to do these things, so that he can willingly allow you into the kingdom of heaven. He does not will to let any sinner enter the kingdom of God. He will not allow any unrepentant sinner or any person that has been renewed and has tasted the good Spirit of the Lord and the good Word of God and all the blessings of the kingdom of God. He is not willing, after you turn back to darkness and after he sees you starting to condone darkness in others, he will not allow you, he will not call you righteous. He will call you accursed. And this is strictly, this is the real Bible that I'm preaching here. And so you just have to make up your mind. You have a will, and you can choose. The Lord himself in the Bible says you can choose to do good or to do evil. He says, do the good. Choose to do the good so that I can bless you and get you into my kingdom. Okay, if you decide to do something else, you're going to decide, no, it's more pleasurable for me to do what I will to do. Oh, indeed, it may seem that way here in this world, but it will not seem that way when your spirit is and your bodies are reunited and you are cast in to the lake of fire. And that you're there forever, and there's no escaping it. So the thing to do is to abide in Christ. He's the only righteous being in the whole universe, and if we're in him, we are considered to be the righteousness of God, because Christ is the only righteous person. He's the only one that lived without sin, And that now we are to be in him so that we are able, given the ability, to live without sinning. Because all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. And if we're in him, we have all his power to be able to make our will be the will of the Almighty God. Now, God came to this planet in a human, and he's still continuing to abide in people that come to Christ. And he does that. This is the way that he willed to bring people, to reconcile people to himself. We're only able to be reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God himself, by allowing him to possess our bodies and to totally dispossess ourselves from our own will, our own satanic will, to dispossess ourselves from the kingdom of darkness, from the king of darkness, and to consider it evil, something that is gross to touch. We have to totally yield ourselves unto the Lord and totally stay away from darkness, because a little of this darkness will cause you to spend eternity in hell. A little leaven or a little poison will poison the whole spirit, the whole soul, the whole body. So this we have a mind, and we have a spirit, we have a soul, and in that soul is a will. The soul, the unregenerated spirit, always wants to do what feels good to we don't naturally, where it's impossible for us to naturally do the things that God wants us to do. I can remember when I was around 21 years old, I was in a hospital room because of my eyes. I was going into an eye operation, and there were two men in the cell with me that had, they were young men also, and they had this sugar diabetes, and they would start going into a coma, and I'd run for the nurse and tell them, look, come on in here, these guys are going into a coma, and you bring some orange juice. I saw that they always brought them a little shot of orange juice, and then when they drink that, they'd pull up and out of it. And this was a good deed, but I still didn't have the virtue of, if I were of the Lord at that time, I did them a favor. I saved their lives, maybe. But I wasn't able, I was in that same room with those two others for several weeks. And I wasn't able, because I didn't have God through Christ living in me and through me. If that were so, then I would have been able to do something godly for them. I would have been able to transmit to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I could have won their souls to the Lord, because they would have recognized the Lord in me, speaking to them, and they would have humbled themselves and knelt down and received the gospel. But because I had not been transformed, I hadn't been born again, I hadn't been regenerated. Transformed was the wrong word. Regenerated, saved, spirit-filled. All I could do is get some orange juice for them. And so I was not the righteousness of God. And there are millions of people today that are buying food for people. They belong to different religions, and they give them food and clothing. And that's nice. No one's knocking that. But for their soul's sake, I'm telling you that no matter what good deed you do, the Bible tells us that unless we have Christ living in us and through us, that your good deeds, and even if you're in a ministry and you're typing and going through emails and all these things, this is nice. It's helpful. But unless Christ is living his life, unless you voluntarily allow him to live his life in and through you, your good deeds, he said, are like filthy rags. Filthy, dirty, filthy rags. Well, you mean to say that because I saved these guys' life, that was dirty, filthy? As far as getting into the kingdom of heaven, yes. Because you think God's going to let people into the kingdom of heaven because we called the nurse and she gave him orange juice, or that the nurse is going to get into heaven by giving him orange juice or a candy bar? When I was in prison for righteousness' sake, I was able to not only give these diabetics that were around me candy bars, an apple, some oranges or something like that, or grapes, whatever they allowed it to be bought, purchased in the commissary. I was able to do good deeds for them, but I also preached the gospel to them. And you can see through this letter here that I've turned the whole Muslim world upside down and have won many souls to the Lord, but yet it wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God in me. I couldn't have done that unless it was Jesus. Paul said he did more work than all the other apostles together, yet not I. It wasn't me. He said it was, I felt the Holy Spirit in me. I made myself. I had the will in me to let God have his way with me. I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to be weak and beggarly. I didn't want to be like people delivering orange juice to people and thinking I'm doing a righteous thing, or blowing the breath into a nose of somebody. That's nice. But get the gospel to them. Let the Lord operate in you, because all you're doing is what a nice person does, or a seemingly nice person. But then if you reject the Messiah and you reject letting him have his way with you, you're like a filthy person in the eyes of God. Do you get that?
Amen.
Amen? This is a filthy person. Now, had I known the gospel, but nobody ever really preached it to me. Ronald Reagan's mother used to come and visit me in there. And she would come in, and actually I was in there because of something that they said I did wrong. I took a gun away from two kids because it was on the 4th of July. And they were kids of my friends, Ada and Fred San Antonio. And they're still, Ada and Fred died, but the sons are still living over on La Mirada Street in Hollywood. And they'll verify what I'm saying. They'll write it up that I was totally innocent. But it was the 4th of July, and it was behind their house. And I heard what I thought people were firing firecrackers. And I went, because we were like family, Ada and Fred and Danny Convertini and David Treadway and myself and their kids. I'd go over there and practice vocalizing, because David Treadway played the piano real well, and Danny Convertini wanted to be in the motion picture industry, and so did I at that time. Until I saw how hard those people work, and I decided that I didn't want to get up at 5 in the morning and go into makeup. I'm not a type of person to fuss around with myself like that, and then to just do retakes over and over again. I wasn't that type. So anyway, I went in the backyard and saw the kids, and they had something. They were hiding behind their back, and I said, "What's the matter?" And they says, "Nothing." And I said, "Where's Ada and Fred, your mom and dad?" They went on a picnic. And I says, "Well, what are you hiding behind your back?" They said, "Nothing." I said, "Come on, let me see it." And so they went and pulled this .45 out from behind their back. I said, "My God, where'd you get that? Give that gun to me. I mean, you kids, they were just little. They're 7, 8, 9 years old. There was 3 or 4 of them back there." And so they handed it to me, and I said, "Where'd you get that?" And they says, "We stole it from the police officer's house on the down the street." Well, I had been in reform school. I've told you that in my testimony, for running away from home when I was a kid. I ran away with another boy. He didn't have to go. They thought it best that I go to reform school in Miles City, Montana. They call it SIS, State Industrial School for Boys. So I went there, and I had this past record. And so I thought, well, I just got to return to figure out what to do with this. I don't want to turn it into the police because they're going to ask, they're going to think maybe I stole it or something. And at that time, I was working at a furniture company making tables. And so I didn't know what to do. And I had to get to work over to the furniture factory, real soon. So I took it over to Pacoima at my house, and I just put it in a drawer trying to figure out what am I going to do with it. If I take it to the police and I tell them where I got it from, they're going to arrest my friend's kids. And so and if I took it over to the police officer's house, they're going to say, where'd you get it? And it just didn't walk out of his house and fall on the ground someplace. Somebody stole it. So you must know who stole it, and they're going to take me in and throw me up against the wall and interrogate me. It's just one of those circumstantial things that happened to me in my life. The devil has set me up on several different occasions. Not to say that I didn't do bad things in my life, but I didn't do that, all right? And so here I come home from work, and there's the police there, and they say, do you have a gun? And I said, yes. And then I knew that the kids told them. So where'd you get it? Well, I got them from the kids. Aiden Fred San Antonio's, they stole it from a policeman's house. And so they took me in and booked me for receiving stolen property. And that they made it look, the district attorney made it look as though I was running a receiving stolen property gang and using a bunch of kids to rob houses and bring the stuff to me, and that I was peddling it someplace, which was a total lie. And they said, the dockets are so full here in Los Angeles that you're going to have to wait in prison here in jail for about 3 months or more in order to go to court, and you don't have money to bail out. And so they said, but if you say that you took this gun and that it was illegal that you did it, then we will give you a 3 month sentence and you'll be out. If not, you're going to wait there for 3 months. You don't have money for an attorney, and you're going to do at least another, maybe a year, maybe you'll go to prison. So I says, okay, I signed the papers, because I was only at that time 19 years old, and I had not known the ways of the court system or anything like that. So I went to that jail, and this is where I met these two guys. I was in the General Hospital in Los Angeles, in the prison ward of the hospital, and Ronald Reagan's mother used to come up there and knock on the door, which was locked, and she'd open the little latch there and say, how's my little brown-eyed boy? And that would really embarrass me, because I was in a ward and there was a lot of other guys in there, and they'd say, how's my little brown-eyed boy, after she'd leave. And so she went, and this is way before governor of the state of California. But she used to come in there two or three times a week and only talk to me, and she'd sit there and said that I reminded her of her son Ronald. And to me, he was just an announcer on General Electric Progress is our most important progress. He was the announcer on it. And I didn't really know him. He was kind of a dull personality to me, and it really shocked me when he became governor, then president. I just thought he was, you know, just a second-rate or third- or fourth-rate actor. And but anyway, I knew her, and she was really nice. And I wrote letters or sent a wire to Ronald Reagan himself telling him, you know, how his mother used to come and visit me, and I was telling him what Raymond A. Donovan was doing to us, trying to make every soul that we'd win to the Lord and build houses for that we had to cut checks for him every week. And this is maybe just a little interesting thing to show you the things that I went through. But I was all nice to these guys that had sugar diabetes in there. But all the things, whether she visited me or because I've known one way or the other five different presidents of the United States, who you know is not going to get you into heaven. Doing good deeds are like filthy rags, or it says in another place, your good deeds without Christ are like a menstruous cloth. Oh, what could be worse? And, you know, if we are not saved, if we don't allow, we don't make it our will to let God do his will in and through us, then we're denying our Creator and our Savior the right to live in us, and therefore we are, all of our papers, our traveling papers into the kingdom of God are canceled, and we're not allowed to go into the kingdom of God. And to God, after all the trouble he went through in a human being, coming here into this planet and living out his life sinless and showing us that it's possible if we just have the gumption or the will to just make ourselves do the will of God, then what he says is that it's the only alternative is for you to burn, because you are counting the blood of Jesus and the work that he did here on this earth as an accursed thing, as an evil thing, and you've trampled like a hog, a herd of hogs, over his blood and accounted it as nothing, and that you, with your nothing life, your fat or skinny selves, as the nothing type life that you're living anyway. Most of the people that I've met in my life have never made even one fraction of the money that I've made in my life. And when I was visited by the Lord in that office, and when I'd seen all the visions of heaven and hell and all the other predictions, and him putting my wife Susie and myself together and seeing the things that he told me we would do after we joined together in matrimony, and then the gospel has gone throughout the entire world, and I hear ministers polyparroting the very things that we've been telling them. They're all, a lot of them are fashioning partially the things that I've been teaching. And I see some of them just almost word for word telling the things that I've taught them and Susie has taught them. And some of them are twisting what we say, refashioning the Word of God into a lie. The Word of God is the truth, and it's our light to go through this life and enter into the kingdom of heaven. But anything other than the real Word of God is a dirty lie, and is a twist from the King of Darkness and the Kingdom of Darkness. And that's where you're going to wind. There's like, it's ignorant. You're in total ignorance if you're out in the world and you're not saved. When I see all these people on the newscasters and they act like they're so intelligent and they're saying things that are so stupid and so false, and all the different people, judges, attorneys, the people that are district attorneys, the presidents, kings, the Pope, all the false religions saying the things they do, I just can't believe their stupidity, their ignorance, the darkness. They don't have the truth, and they're all debating. As a matter of fact, they're even asking the general public that is in darkness, what do you think? Because they don't know. And it's as if some unregenerated person in the kingdom of darkness is going to tell them what's right or wrong. And so as a mass of people that were totally wrong, God drowned the entire earth because all of them were wrong. They were sinful, and they were all doing according to their own will. But God took them and drowned every single one of them with water. He covered the entire earth, and he promises to do the same thing. It's amazing. He put a rainbow in the sky because all the people in the world would wonder when is going to be the next flood that's going to kill all of us. But God stated that he's going to put a sign in the sky after to show the people of the world that he's never going to bring forth another deluge, another flood over the entire earth. He floods some parts of it, like New Orleans and other places, but not, he didn't bury everybody there. And there's a rainbow in the sky to remind us about that. But there's nothing in the sky. But the Word of God promises that He's going to burn everybody up that's in the kingdom of darkness, that loves darkness rather than light, that loves unrighteousness more than righteousness. And so I would counsel you from God's Word to come to the light. But if you're so damnably in darkness, and you love darkness, you love going to nightclubs at night, you love backbiting and lying about people and lying about everything, if you love to steal, love to commit adultery, fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality, all these things, and you just love it so much that you wouldn't even think, you mock the light. And because of this, God mocks you throughout eternity. In the first chapter of Proverbs, He says, because you wouldn't listen to the words of light, because you wouldn't make yourself do what the Word of God says to do, He says, I'm going to, when your soul starts leaving your body, I'm going to start laughing at you and mocking you. He said, because you wouldn't listen to my counsel. You laughed and mocked at me and thumbed your nose at me and said, I'd rather make love, a woman would rather make love with a woman or a man with a man. You filth of the earth. Or I'd rather believe in Muhammad as though he rose up into heaven as his warped words, his quote Bible unquote says, the Quran. That's his false. False messiahs, the Lord said, would be everywhere on the face of this earth. But I thank God that there is light in this world, and the darkness doesn't receive it. Nor do they understand it. They can't understand anybody making a stand for righteousness. They can't understand anybody living in Christ so that they could be the righteousness of the Lord. They in Christ are only the righteousness of the Lord. That Creflo Dollar, he says to, I hear him preaching to everybody that we're the righteousness of God. How does he know? Amen? There's people sitting in my church that I know they're not the righteousness of God. And they know themselves. And they know that they're not going to receive the light. They have no intentions to. And theirs will be the hottest place in hell because they've heard so many messages. They know the truth and they deny the truth. And so the truth, which is Christ, has denied them. And He sent them strong delusions to make them to believe that the things that they're hearing is fairy tales. And that what they believe in their own stupid heads is the truth, and what Jesus says is a lie. Well, you cursed bastards, the Lord calls you, bastards. And it's going to be wonderful. He says He is wonderfully going to destroy you. Well, anyway, let's get back to the writings. Go ahead. This was just the first letter?
Yes.
Oh, see what they do to me? Okay, go ahead.
Some of them who have not read any Christian booklet since their whole lifetime now read your literature as well as respond to the good news, the first of its kind in this land. In our church, a 17-man special squad tagged the New Jerusalem team took it upon themselves to invade the streets here with your booklets. And the response was encouraging, as it has brought revival to churches in this locality.
Therefore, it has here in the United States as well, and all over the world. And I just thank God. I know that His Word is able to change people's lives if people abide in His Word, live in His Word, live in Him, not in your own skin. Let the Lord live in you. You're to sacrifice your self to the Lord for the purpose of allowing Him to live in you, to recruit a lot of souls to restore them back to a place in God, to restore them into a place in God where they can rule. Now, even though the ministers are the rulers, everyone is a ruler, because like in that cell where I was with, in the hospital, there was two men in there. And I was the testimony to them so far as a good deed, because every time they started going into a coma, I was a testimony to them that I'm not a weasel, and they were both black, and that I'm not anti-black people, because I saved their lives many times. I was in there for several months, and we used to spar a little bit, you know, boxing and stuff, young kids. And but I think how much more I keep thinking about those two and many other people. If I was saved, I would be the ruler in that, with those two people in there, because not to rule over them to, you know, get down and trim my toenails or something like that. That isn't what rulership means. It means rulers, allowing Christ to rule in me, to bring them unto the kingdom of heaven, to rule over the power of light, and to rule, to allow God to shine himself through me unto people that are in darkness, to let them come in, to make them desire to come into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of righteousness. We have no righteousness without the Lord in us. Everything we do is filthy rags. Okay, go ahead.
Therefore, in God's power, I ask for additional materials, support for Bibles and literature, study booklets, and any other assistance at your disposal to facilitate our soul-winning campaign.
Praise the Lord. You're a person, I feel a kindred spirit in you, and you shall have all these things. Then what?
May Almighty God bless you in Jesus' name. Your son in his vineyard, Pastor Esbon from Lagos, Nigeria.
And Pastor, may God richly bless you. I'm sure he is in every way. Praise the Lord. Now, where's the next letter from?
It's a phone room response from to the radio program.
Okay.
A woman called on the witnessing line to say, I thank God for Pastor Tony Alamo, that God has him speaking for him. I love the way he speaks out and how he gets the messages across. It's plain, that's exactly what it is, because it's so wonderful and so beautiful, it is mesmerizing. I'm so very blessed to have found him on the radio. Thank you so much, Jacqueline from Hempstead, New York.
Praise the Lord for you, Sister Jacqueline. Then what's next?
Then a letter from India. Dear World Pastor Tony Alamo, I am from India. Once upon a time, I was in the Hindu religion. I got saved through reading your literature given to me by a friend. Thank God. Now I found Jesus Christ the Savior, and I got salvation, which is not bought with money and anything in this world.
Now you people out in the world may a little bit understand why Satan is so angry at me. Anyone that's fighting me, who's winning all these souls, or fighting this church, or fighting, you're fighting the Spirit of God, and I want to warn you in all earnest that you should immediately cease from that and begin positioning yourself as the Lord wants you to be positioned. God has never called anybody to come against a person that's anointed by the Lord. Even King David in the Old Testament, even Saul, as demonic as he had become, King Saul, David would never bring an accusation against him, or would not even do any harm to him whatsoever, because he had once been anointed by the Lord. I've been anointed by the Lord now, and be careful, because when you call this church that's winning souls all over the world a cult, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. If you say that we're of the devil, no, you are of the devil for saying such a thing. and your soul is cursed, there's no forgiveness for you on this side of eternity or in the other side of eternity. On this side, where we're in time, and nor yet on the other side in judgment. There's no forgiveness for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Because you can say bad things about me, but you can't say any bad thing about the things I'm doing because I'm living according to the Word of God. I'm not doing my own will. Whatever I'm doing, it is the will of God. Now, you may say, well, he doesn't treat me like the way he treats others or stuff. I treat you the way the Lord has me treat you. If you're a liar, I'm not going to be that friendly with you. If you're a fornicator, and you have known the Lord and you've been in this church for years, and I suspect you of, and I can tell that you're not really serving the Lord at all. You're not in the Spirit. I'm going to separate myself from you as the commandment says. Why should I do something other than what the Lord commands me to do? I'll separate myself from you eventually when I see that you don't repent. Eventually I'll grow away from you, and I'll be with the people that are serving the Lord. So if I'm not the way to you that you'd like me to be, or if God is not the way that you want him to be, why don't you do a survey of your life and compare yourself to the Word of God? Because God's going to judge you by his word at the judgment bar of God. And it's better that you judge yourself now by the Word of God. You people say you're not supposed to judge. The Bible tells you that you're supposed to judge all things by the Word of God. Not your own judgment like these devils out there, but by the Word of God. All right, now finish the letter, please.
Now I am very happy in Christ. I want to share my salvation with others, which is Lord given unto me, because one night the Lord told me with his sweet voice to do his honorable ministry. At that very moment, I surrendered my body, soul, and spirit to serve him.
Praise the Lord for you. Right. Amen.
I need your literature in Telugu language to spread to others all these things. The place I am residing is a backward area.
I want Brother Don to report to me what he's doing in regard to getting more of this literature printed up in India and Bibles, because we're getting a lot of orders from them and he's not responding to me. God raise up somebody that will respond to me so I get this literature out. The devil gets into so many people. Yes, just as... you know, there are literally millions of people in my church throughout the world, and very few of them are responding quickly enough to be able to deliver the Word of God that everyone out there is hungering and thirsting for. It's like because they're being warmed and filled, and they have warm beds, and they get their meals, and they don't... have to worry about their clothing or anything like this. Their utilities are paid for. And if they get sick, they are, and the Lord doesn't heal them because of their unfaithfulness, then they get to go to hospitals and dentists and their children. One of the unfaithful children knocked his head off and all the blood rushed to his head, and we had to go to the hospital and pay for that. Cut the top of his head off and sucked the blood out of his brains, because all his the blood was pushing his brain to one side of his head, and he was an unruly boy, and he still is. And I told him, look, if the Lord takes you out, say hi to Jesus for me before he judges you and sends your soul to hell. And the boy looked at me, you know, and says, I said, will you do that for me? And he said, yes. I did it in an attempt to frighten him into serving the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and this boy is void of wisdom, and his mother is too. Void of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. They may understand and they may have knowledge, but they don't really adhere to it. And so that makes them, because they have knowledge and understand that, that makes them more guilty than if they hadn't known. Okay, then what?
There are a lot of Muslims and Hindus in this area. Please send me a large number of your literature, Messiah books, and Bibles to give to others.
I would consider this person the person to send thousands of pieces of literature and Messiah books and Bibles. So make sure that you bring this up to me tomorrow. I don't know how many of the our rooms sent to them, but make sure you check with me on this. But this person is for real. Okay, then what?
My surrounding area has many hospitals, villages, schools, cinema halls, etc. I hope that the Lord will provide all these things by you to save many for Christ.
Oh, he will. Then what else?
May the Lord bless you, your family, and your honorable ministry that is worldwide. We are praying for you. Please bear me in your prayers to do his great will till the end. Praise the Lord, Brother P. Raja, from Nalgonda District, Andhra Pradesh, India.
God bless you too, brother. Praise the Lord. Any more?
No, that's all.
Okay, well, let's get busy here with, we've got about 5 minutes left to hear some of the writings here that I have. Go ahead.
We are designed to be led by the Holy Spirit and not to follow those who are carnal.
Right, the Holy Spirit, God fashioned us in his likeness and image so that we would be like him. And he's always wanted to live in and through us. This is the way that he planned to reconcile mankind back to himself. And he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. He was born just like a human being and lived in every respect exactly like a human being. He was a human being and kept referring to himself as the Son of Man. But he also said he was the living God, that he had God living in him, and it was God in him that was doing everything. So this is the same way it is with anyone that is of the Lord, that is born again of the Spirit, that has God living in them, that you're the continuation, you're the, we're the cleanup crew, we're the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The head is in us, and we are in the head, and we are his body, and we're the very last people that are going to be saved on the face of this earth. And we're the very last ones. We're the mop-up crew. The people have gotten more and more wicked down through the years, and he still, to this day, is living in willing human beings. They must be willing to sacrifice their lives, as he was willing to sacrifice his life on the cross, and to offer his blood that was shed as an atoning for our sins, our former sins. And if we do anything by ignorance, we are still covered by that, but we're not to continue in sin, because he that sinneth is of the devil. Okay, go ahead.
Whenever anyone of the world tries to tell us what to do, unless they are in a legitimate position of authority, given by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there arises in us a spirit or an attitude of resentment or resistance, because it's not the Lord's will that we be ruled by the unsaved.
Right. If a person tells you that homosexuality or lesbianism or fornication is all right, there's a resentment that goes up. When I was saying that there was two men in that cell. If I was in there to this day and I was saved, I'm still the ruler of that situation, of those two people, because I would be ministering the Spirit to them. And so no matter where you're at, you are a ruler also in whatever place it is that you, or the the living space that you're living in. You are to let take the leadership role if you know the Word of God, if you know God, if God's living in you. And you can begin doing that. You have to first learn the Scriptures, and you must first be born again in the Spirit. That can happen right now. It's not a long process. You can get saved, be born again of the Spirit right this minute by just simply saying this prayer to the Lord with all your heart. Just say to Him now, "My Lord and my God, I have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart to live there from now and on. Wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood. I open the door of my heart. Come in, Lord. Live there forever. Therefore, I know you said that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know you've heard me. I know you've answered me. And I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Holy Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for visiting me. Now, Sharon, tell them how they can receive a copy of this CD or tape, audio tape. It's program number 222, free of charge. Shipping and handling free as well. Go ahead, tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, be sure to tune in tomorrow to pick up on tomorrow's message. It'll be message part number 121 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. That'll be program 223. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you. Keep praising and thank the Lord for your salvation. Let the Lord have His way in you, and you will not be ashamed on the day, the final day. Praise God. Amen and amen. You'd get a copy of this CD, Faith B. Barnum and the Life Choir and Orchestra. Look it up on our website. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.